Well, greetings, friends, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here every weekday to serve you, our Basic Gospel listeners, and we want to hear from you to know what's on your mind today. So please give us a call at 844-322-2742. Anything you'd like to bring to the table today, we're here to talk about it with you. In both the U.S. and Canada, we invite your calls now to 844-322-2742. Whatever the question, whatever the circumstance, those phone lines are open. But call now, 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yesterday we introduced a new topic of conversation, and that's how do we please God? And it's a topic that many are confused about. They think of it in terms of a standard to reach. We have to live up to certain expectations that God has for us. So they turn it into a legalistic concept, but in reality, it's really a grace word. And Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim or our ambition to please him.
Yep.
And so we want to talk about what that means. And Andrew, I know that's a topic of conversation that you engage in quite often on your broadcast. And let's talk about it. What does it mean to please the Lord?
Yeah, well, Romans 8 says that anybody who's in the flesh cannot please God. So that tells you something right there. Can an unbeliever do really good-looking things? Absolutely, but apparently those things don't please God. So we're back to recognizing it's not what I'm doing, it's the source of it. It's the motivation, it's the inspiration, and then we come to the place of realizing without faith it's impossible to please God, and it is that dependency, that trust that God desires from us. I mean, nothing pleases him more than when we're actually relying on his Spirit living in us. We're relying on the finished work of Christ. So I think the problem is, Bob, that we start differentiating or looking at pleasing God as, you know, is God happy with who I am? Is God okay with me today? How does God feel about what kind of person I am? Well, we've already got those questions answered. I mean, God knows what kind of person we are. We're the righteousness of God. God knows what kind of person we are. We're holy, blameless, and righteous. So that question is settled, and I need to separate who I am from what I'm doing. I mean, it is possible to please God as we trust him and as we walk by the Spirit, as we depend on him, as we love other people and encourage them, as Christ lives through us. All of that pleases God, but it doesn't make him more pleased with who we are. So I think when we answer this question, Bob, it's essential that we separate who we are from what we're doing, because those are two different things.
Yes, indeed. And when we get trapped into the doing aspect of it, I think that's when it becomes a legalistic exercise, that we're doing something through human effort, and we hope to get a well-done, good, and faithful servant from God.
Yeah.
And we're always frustrated because we never feel like we've done enough, or we've done it correctly, or with the right attitude, or with the right motivation. So we become very harsh critics of ourselves. And I think the whole deal is just relaxing and recognizing that God is pleased with us because we're in Christ and Christ is in us. And then to relax in the fact that God is at work in us to do and to will of his good pleasure. So the source of these activities and that sort of thing is God himself. So our deal is to walk by faith, and that's what pleases God. So we try to complicate it. We try to turn it into some type of standard to reach. And I think it's just a reality to express and to enjoy. And I think God is most pleased when we are enjoying his life to the full.
Yes, the fruit of lips that give thanks to our God. Even the book of Hebrews talks about that being a pleasing sacrifice to him. In the Old Testament, they were using the blood of bulls and goats. They were hoisting animals on altars to try to please God with sacrifices. And even pagan religions have picked up on that theme throughout the millennia. And now we have a history of those tribal religions and pagan beliefs and those people engaged in sacrificing to try to please God. Well, Jesus is the final sacrifice, and God is well pleased with him. And when we see that, it helps us understand, okay, what is it that I do that pleases God? Well, actually, the fruit of lips that give thanks to Jesus because of his finished work. So, man, it's an oxymoron in a way, because I'm pleasing God by thanking God for what he did, not what I'm doing.
The voice of Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me, Bob Davis, on this broadcast today. And friends, thank you for being with us. We'd love to hear from you. The lines are open at 844-322-2742. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever question you might have, this is a great opportunity to speak with two of the very finest teachers of the grace of God that of our time, as a matter of fact, Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. So give us a call, 844-322-2742. And friends, also, remember that it's only because you give that others might hear, believe and live in the eternal truth of the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. People are waiting, hoping to hear that there is an answer to the emptiness and the hopelessness inside. And as you know, Basic Gospel can and will point them to the answer in Jesus Christ. So please log on today to basicgospel.net and make a donation to help Basic Gospel keep the message of grace going on the air and online. And when you make your gift, be sure to request your copy of Andrew's excellent book, God Without Religion. It's our way of saying thank you for your gift to support the message of grace on Basic Gospel. Again, you can make your gift now or any time when you visit the website basicgospel.net. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. And once again, the phone number, 844-322-2742. And guys, we had this call that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Hi, this is Dave from Pittsburgh. I was just wondering, guys, do you think a lot of people are afraid of God? Do they have a fear of God? That's why they fear that they're not going to please him. And can you explain that fear? I know it's a reverence, but, you know, I think a lot of people are afraid of God. Okay. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
It's a great question, isn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, it is. The question is, should we be scared of God or should we respect God? And I think that's where we got to differentiate here. Those are two different concepts. Am I supposed to be scared out of my wits, wondering if I'm okay with God today? And then how about now? And then how about now? And, you know, we can obsess about that. We look at our recent track record. We look at our performance. We wonder if God is shocked and disappointed and frustrated, and eventually it boils over into anger and wrath, and should we be afraid of him? And, you know, Romans 5 helps us with this. It says we're saved from the anger of God. We're saved from his wrath, and furthermore, we have peace with God. So I think we're back to this idea of separating who we are from what we've done. And God is absolutely pleased with who we are. We have 100% peace with God. We can count on that every day, all day long. You can't have a relationship with someone that you're scared to death of. I mean, I've seen it all. I've seen on the internet where well-known pastors and teachers have created videos to talk about how we essentially need to be scared to death of God. I'm thinking of one video where there's a woman laying in bed and the room begins to fill with water, and he comes on as a narrator, this pastor does, talking about the fear of the Lord as the water fills up the room. Wow. And she starts to suffocate and not be able to breathe and is drowning in the water. And this well-known pastor is putting out this video using this as a metaphor for fearing God. And you look at something like that and you just think, what in the world are we thinking there, guys? Because you know, God says that his perfect love casts out our fear, and it says that fear involves punishment. And if we're fearing God, it's because we're imagining punishment from him, but there is no punishment left. Jesus took it all. So when we realize there's no condemnation, that he'll never leave us, that he'll never forsake us, that he'll always be with us, nothing separates us from the love of Christ, those are the truths that set us free to enjoy God instead of being scared to death of him. So, yes, he's the creator of all. He's the Lord of everything. He deserves honor and respect, and he has that. Our hearts honor him, and our hearts respect him. We are his children also, and being his kids, we're supposed to approach him with boldness and confidence, not shrinking back in fear.
Yes, indeed. And that's all because of the cross. You think, Andrew, about, you know, the Genesis story and what happened to Adam and Eve after they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They hid from God, and they were very clear in their explanation to God. They said they were afraid of him, so they hid themselves. And that fear, that being afraid of God, was kind of passed on to us. That's part of the lost condition. And that is corrected through faith in Jesus when we rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So we see a lot of that out there. And in that kind of the heart and soul of most religions, trying to alleviate that fear of punishment, trying to stave that off, trying to kick that down the road a little bit.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I mean, you go back to that garden and you have to say, whose idea was it to start measuring ourselves? Well, it was our idea. We wanted our own concept of good and evil. We wanted to measure ourselves, and immediately we fell short in our own minds, in our own estimation, and then we had the bright idea of running away from God. We had the bright idea of covering ourselves with fig leaves in shame. We had all of this idea, and then you fast forward thousands of years later, we're still coming up with these, quote, bright ideas of human-made religion where basically we're scared to death of God. And it is the cross and the resurrection and the finished work of Christ that says, come near and be bold and have confidence and know God as your daddy father. Through the cross and the resurrection, God has reversed that disaster that we invented in the Garden of Eden.
Yes, he has. And that's the good news. That's why we shout it from the rooftops through these basic gospel airwaves. And we want people to know the love of Christ, to get connected to the love of Christ, so that love can cast away that fear once and for all, and people can walk in confidence and truly enjoy this new life that they have in Jesus.
Great question, Dave. Thanks for reaching out.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Monticello, New York, and talk to Frida. Hi, Frida.
Hey, Frida.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So is it okay, because I know you guys are talking about pleasing God, like before I ask my question, which is really simple, can I just read something that I wrote, which is not long-winded, I promise. It's not long. So can I read something to you guys?
Well, just be quick about it, and then let's get to that question.
Sure.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm working on, you know, making things simple. Okay, so it says, what if the greatest thing that pleased God was you simply trusting in what Jesus did on the cross? What if the greatest thing that pleased God was just you simply resting in the better promises of the new covenant built on the foundations of grace? What if simple faith was all it took? Simple faith is hard for some. Why? Because simple faith means rest, and many of us have been conditioned to believe that we must work as an appeasement / appraisal to God. Many of us have been conditioned to rely on rules and regulation, good works, and daily disciplines in order to find favor and closeness with God. Many of us have been conditioned to confuse the works of faith with the works of the law. One says, look at what Jesus did, and the other says, look at what I'm doing for Jesus. Last part. Question for the body of Christ. In the flesh, are you looking for accolades of men for the works that you do for the Father, or are you doing the works of the Father despite any achievements that you may or may not acquire? Was that too long?
No, that was well written, well read, and really hits the nail on the head, Frida. So thank you for that.
That was good, Frida.
Okay, thank you. Well, okay, so my quick question is, when it says that Jesus became sin for us, like, how did he take sin upon him without, like, becoming a sinner? So, like, what does it mean he became sin for us?
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's a great one. I mean, you know, that's one that people have been asking for 2,000 years. We're talking about 2 Corinthians 5. Jesus knew no sin. He became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. And I think we could ask the same difficult question. How in the world did we become the righteousness of God when we never did a single righteous thing? So through the cross, we see this beautiful act of God and Jesus becoming sin. It's not that he ever committed a sin. He didn't. But he took the sin of the whole world upon himself in that moment, guys. And what he represented there on the cross was he was taking the punishment. He was taking the curse of death. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died. He took those wages. He became a sin for us. And I don't have to fully wrap my mind around how a holy, perfect God can become sin. I don't have to understand it fully, but I can trust it fully because, like I said, Bob, I mean, my goodness, I'm supposed to believe that a guy who never did a single righteous thing has now become as righteous as Jesus because God made me to become his very righteousness. I don't get that either. The whole thing is a beautiful mystery, but I'm going to embrace it.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly right. We know that based on the life that Jesus lived, that qualified him for the death that he died. And he had to be the perfect Lamb of God, unblemished, spotless, so that he could die in our place, so that he could be that substitute. So as Peter said, and I love this passage in his first letter, that he bore our sins in his body. So I think we always have to realize, Frida, that he died for our sins. It was our sins that he took, and he suffered the consequences of that so that we could be made alive together with him, so that we could become the very righteousness of God.
Yeah, amen.
Frida, thanks for
your... thank you. Oh, and really quick, Andrew, I don't know if you got the email I sent you, but it was another poem that I wrote that I wanted to share with you, and I also wanted to tell you about when I had called you about that addiction I was struggling with. Yeah. I know it's not about clean days, but I wanted to share with you that, like, today I have 150 days clean.
Oh,
so.
That is beautiful, Frida. That's awesome. Thank you for telling us. That's encouraging.
Yes, encouraging indeed.
Yes, indeed. Thanks. Friends, we have open lines, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you again, 844-322-2742. And from our YouTube channel, Patricia wrote a question concerning is it ever too late to be saved? The question goes like this. What about those who wait until they're dying to ask God to save them? Will God forgive a person who knows that they're going to die in a few minutes and they feel the need to call out to Jesus to help right then and there? When they're about to go to hell, will God save them on their deathbed?
Well, the short answer to that is yes, yes, yes. I mean, my goodness, we're all going to die, and I think we all know that we're going to die. So whether you know it's going to be 60 years from now or believe it's going to be 60 years from now, it could be in 60 seconds. It could be in 60 minutes. And so the reality is we're all going to look behind that curtain called death and experience life after this of some kind in eternity, whether it's that our being in Adam takes us to a place of punishment or our being in Christ takes us to a place of a beautiful celebration of Christ. So, you know, Romans 10 says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven. That's to bring Christ down. It also says, don't say in your heart who will go to hell, because that's to bring Christ up from the dead. Instead, what we need to be saying is the word is right there. It's right up in your ear. Whosoever believes, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, whosoever puts their faith in Christ at any moment in their life, it doesn't matter if you've got 60 seconds left or 60 years left, God hears us. And, you know, the only downside is, why wait? Because you're missing out on the adventure of Jesus right here, right now. But, Bob, this idea that somehow it's too late on your deathbed or too late as you get closer to death, my goodness, nothing could be further from the truth. God wants to save anyone and everyone. He wants none to perish. He wants all to believe.
Yeah, and that's why the Bible talks about today, this moment, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, because you don't know what the next moment is going to bring, or the next moment. So today, if you hear his voice, open that heart and receive the Lord. Receive that life. Be made alive right now, because that's what God desires. And so it's always kind of that sense of urgency, isn't it, Andrew, when it comes to this offer of life, because we don't know. I mean, no one knows when we're going to die. If somebody's on their deathbed, they think it's imminent, it's coming soon, but they're still not sure when that moment is coming. So God is always saying, hey, it's there for you. Receive it right now.
Yeah, and this also speaks to the character of God. See, we humans might find ourselves going, well, come on now, I gave you every opportunity and you didn't receive me, therefore forget you, it's too late, I'm ticked off, I'm frustrated with you, you've already crossed the threshold, enough is enough, I'm out of patience. Well, you know, that shows what we might be believing about God, when actually love is patient, love is kind. It keeps no record of wrongs. So we're talking about the character of God here, and the fact that he literally, his heart wants zero people to perish. He literally and actually wants every single person to come to him. That's the heart of our Father.
Absolutely. Well, final question, guys, and I think this is a very good one. This is from Melissa. She says, we've been looking for a home church, a grace-filled home church, for a very long time, and recently we thought we found one. However, we've come to realize that the only thing we have in common is the belief by faith only, that's what's required for salvation. They're not comfortable with Lee sharing his zeal for being the righteousness of God. We feel like we're welcome there as long as we keep our mouths shut and go along with their program. But we can't find a Grace Church anywhere in our area. What advice can you give us?
Well, guys, I would say this really highlights the difference between believing in grace as the way through the door and then believing that the room itself is a room of grace. I mean, it's not just a doorway of grace, it's a room of grace. And we're saved by grace, but we also live by grace. And that's what sets Basic Gospel apart. You know, you can hear lots of programs and go to lots of churches around the world. They talk about how you're saved by grace through faith. But what about how I live every single day? Just as you received him, so walk in him. We began by the Spirit. We continue by the Spirit. It's grace from start to finish. And I would just say this to her, you know, if you're looking for a church online, come visit us at thegracechurch.org. We're available every Sunday morning at thegracechurch.org.
What time, Andrew?
10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern.
Or join Bob Christopher for Sunday Morning Live at 9:30. You can do that by going to our website, that's basicgospel.net, and click one of the links, either Facebook or YouTube, at the top of the homepage. You can join both Bob and Andrew on Sunday mornings, and I know that's going to be a blessing to so many of you. So, Andrew, thanks for sharing that, and Bob, we'll look forward to Sunday Morning Live as well. Well, friends, that's it for another edition of Basic Gospel. Time has flown, and remember, it's because of your giving that we're here every weekday bringing you the good news of the gospel of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Please donate today at basicgospel.net, and when you do, be sure to request your copy of Andrew's excellent book, God Without Religion, our way of saying thanks for your support of this ministry. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. We would love for you to partner with us. And finally, if you have a Bible question or personal issues you'd like to pose to us, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. We'll discuss it soon on the Basic Gospel program. We love hearing from you, our listeners, and we're here every day live for the broadcast. We also offer this this voicemail system for you off hour, so use one or the other, or both if you want. 844-322-2742. That's the always number. Well, now for Bob Christopher, Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back with us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.